gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very elegant, ahead on a Dave. He's trying, but she's going to beat him.
Hello and welcome back to the B-Set. I'm Nick Burney. I'm here with Ray Hickson. We're back at Rosehill Gardens for Silver Slipper Day, so not too far to the big one for the two-year-olds, the $5 million Golden Slipper. But Ray, as I go to you, we're currently on a soft six. I know this has been driving you a little bit insane, these weather reports. What do you reckon? How do you think this track will play to the best of your ability the weather?
Given all the meteorological expertise I have, which is about the same as everybody else, I'm banking on the track starting at a soft six, which is where it is today. Obviously, there's forecast for some rain tonight, and the reaction from Sean Patterson has been that they're expecting to get something.
Yep.
It's just a matter of what. I mean, if they only get a couple of mils, I think it'll stay soft six, probably end up soft five through the day, although it's not meant to be quite a warm day. So
Rain possibly morning, but just one of those things we'll have to wait and see.
I'd be happy with a soft six to start with. I think that would give most horses every possible chance.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think the track railed back into the true, bit of sting out, should play fair enough.
Yeah, it should do.
Yeah, so looking forward to this meeting. Let's get straight into it. We will come back to the Silver Slipper because we'll go the head-to-head there. But let's have a look at the Hobartville Stakes. Obviously, Group 2, this race has been won in the past by the likes of Enemo. Last year was Osipenko, I believe. So, look, really looking forward to this race. It's probably the lead up into the Guineas, and there's some real improving types here. Tom Kitten has come up the $3.20 favourite.
Yeah, I had to come back to Tom Kitten. Like, you know, you start the race by trying to find out how he might get beaten.
Yeah.
Given that he is, you know, a clear favourite for the race. And the fact that he's there on set weights with 56.5, meeting all these horses now on level weights after, you know, being around the mark with them over the shorter trips in the spring and then toweling them up in the spring champion at 2,000 metres. Barrier 4 is probably a plus for him. You can imagine in a field of 12 or thereabouts, he'd be midfield.
Yep.
And I think that if some of the main dangers, the likes of, you know, NCAP, etc., are behind him, they're not going to be able to beat him.
Yep.
So it really comes down to, from my perspective, where he gets to in the run. He'll handle whatever track conditions are there. And we all saw him hit the line right at the end of that Eskimo Prince under the 60 kilos, running, you know, good last 200 metre sectional. So he's clearly the horse to beat.
Yep.
Things like what the track is doing
of course
by that stage of the day may well come into play. But, you know, given that the horse I came up with as the main danger is Ducasse.
Yep. Just a quick one on Ducasse. They don't rate much better than that, what it did in its maiden the other day.
Mm.
And we obviously saw Redbreast come and win out that Hawkesbury maiden on Wednesday.
Did the second horse get beaten during the week?
It did, Detendu, yesterday. Did start $1.40 at Wyong, so that transferred meeting. But so the market, you know, the ratings and the markets, they line up there.
You can draw a line too through the up-and-coming and the Ming Dynasty from the spring where Ducasse, you know, wasn't too far away from Tom Kitten, and he had a horror gate in the Ming Dynasty where he finished midfield. So he's come back a better horse.
Yep.
You know, the brakes finally went his way, which they didn't do quite a lot last spring. So I've got him marked at the danger, but he's coming off a maiden win, obviously, even though he's got form against these horses. Whereas you've got Tom Kitten, Group 1 winner.
Yep.
You know, clearly the horse to beat. So, look, there are a lot of other horses. I'm sure you might touch on a few of them that create a bit of interest.
Yep.
But I came back to Tom Kitten.
Yeah, I thought Tom went exceptionally well in the Eskimo Prince and probably the run of the race for mine. With that said, I think just my angle I'm taking here, they might just be able to pick him off one more time, because when he gets to 1,600 metres or beyond, I think he'll be unbeaten for the rest of the preparation.
Militarized may have something to say about that next start, but yeah, you're right. He's the one that's going to benefit the most from this run going up in distance.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a really good opinion of Tom. But with that, the angle I'm going to take, and purely just from the market perspective, I just think they are too far apart, Celestial Legend and Tom. I thought Celestial Legend going back into the inferior ground has probably just outpaced Up Tempo, and But what I really liked is its last couple bounds to and through the line. It just screamed to me that it probably needed the run and has always been looking for 1,400 metres, always had a good opinion on this horse. Finally gets to the 1,400 metres. Rosehill only suits. Soft track, dry track, it won't matter. So around that $8.50, $9 mark, I just wanted to lean that way because I think this might be the run that says, you know, I'm here as like Celestial Legend. He's got to stand up because we've all had big opinions on this horse. So I think he'd come down the middle of the track and be extremely strong late.
Well, that's interesting because obviously he's going to need the pattern to say that he can't, well, not so much the pattern. He's going to need a fair track or a run on pattern. But he's another one of those horses. Where's he going to be in the run? If he's behind Tom Kitten in the run, he may, you'd expect him to be similarly strong late.
Of course.
So it's going to be very interesting.
I just think Tom might still, I know he can definitely win just at 320. I'd rather take 320 grand final. That's just how I look at it. The other horse that really interests me is Fukubana. Started at $1.40. I know it won quite an easy race there at Doomben, but gets McDonald on for the first time. Ran very good splits there. Out to 1,400 metres suits, and it's going to be one of those horses that can be positive. So it's going to be up near the speed. I can see it settled. I think McDonald's going to be quite positive on this horse and get it right into the race. And just at the price, it's had two runs in now, so it's at optimal fitness third up. Just at around that $9, they're the two I wanted to play in that race. But it's going to be a cracking race. I'm really looking forward to that one. We'll move straight to the Millie Fox. We've got a pretty well-fancied favourite here in Lady Laguna, $2.25, and then it's that pretty much versus the Chris Waller Army that's going to be coming at it, but you've still got really nice horses like How Good Are You, Lecvade, as well in this race. And Ray, are you with the favourite or did you look outside it?
I swayed a bit on this race. I'm going to take the punt that Zoo Gotch is back.
Yep, I can see that. Yep.
If she is, well, then she's going to be awfully hard to beat. You only have to, I mean, this time last year, she won the Farlap and, you know, started $8 in a Doncaster. She didn't come up in the spring where they attempted to see if she was an Everest horse.
Yep.
But it just might have been one of those transitional things. You see that sometimes, you know, a smart three-year-old filly just struggles a little bit early in the four-year-old season, comes back and, you know, regains its touch. I think Espiona was one that might have done that.
Yeah, it was.
You see that quite often. So J-Mac had ridden Lady Laguna his last two starts. On Zoo Gotcha, again, whether that's a lead or not, well, remains to be seen. But I'm going to take the punt that she's back. And we won't know until probably the last 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, the market will really tell you.
Lady Laguna does look a little bit bulletproof.
Yep.
This race is harder than last time, but she gets the 55 kilos to compensate for that.
She's, under the conditions, she's very well in.
She's well in. Good track, soft track, lack of pace, lots of pace. She seems to be able to handle everything. So it's just a matter of whether she can now take that next step.
Yep.
Because she's going to be meeting a few of these in the Coolmore Classic if they go that way. So she'll need to beat them in this race if she's a chance of winning the Group 1. But just came back to the class of Zoo Gotcha. Like I said, the market will tell us whether we're right or not.
Yeah, I thought she was one of the bets of the day, Lady Laguna. I think she can just get them on the hop here. And I agree, next start, say if they do go to the Coolmore, those other horses can catch her. But just under the, as you said, I think you summed it up, she handles slow, fast tempo. She can sprint off both. She's going to go, I think she'll sit outside leader. I'm not too worried about the map. I think Tyler will be quite positive. But it all just comes down to me is she has the fitness edge. A lot of these horses are first up. She's rock hard fit. She's coming off a win where she was suited sitting outside the leader in a very slow tempo. But she sprinted the fastest closing splits of the meeting. She did it with ease. All she has to do is repeat that effort. And from a figures basis, if she does, all the others are going to have to step to reach her. So with that, I think she's an even money chance. I think she's a coin toss. She's $2.25. Captain Obvious, $2.25. But with that said, I think on a day where we're still in that little bit of a tricky zone where there's a lot of horses are resuming and grand finals down the track, I think she's the, you said it, bomb-proof horse. I think she's very hard to beat, and $2.25 is a fair enough price for me.
Yep, look, she's drawn ideally to side across with How Good Are You.
Yep.
The only fly in the ointment with the pace is what Diamond Dealer does.
Correct.
With the blinkers on. Now, Bjorn Baker has suggested they might let her go a little bit.
Yep.
With the blinkers on, she has led a race in the past. She led the Golden Pendant over 1,400 metres in the spring.
Mm.
She's the only wild card when it comes to the speed. But, you know, Lady Laguna, if it need be, probably can slot in one out, one back.
Yep.
I'd imagine J-Mac has Zugotcha in the box seat.
Yeah, he's not going to let Lady Laguna out of his sights. Yep. The other one was Madame Pomeroy. That interests me. All its first up runs, it's best. Fresh. Yeah. It's always a horse that you've gone, oh, it'll be better over it further. But it's a really good fresh horse, especially if that rain comes. It's only a plus, but dry ground is okay for her. So for a Group 1 winner, around a good price, I could probably just chop out on her. I'd make her a small winner myself. All right, let's move to head-to-head. The Silver Slipper, the feature race of the day. This is going to be big for the Golden Slipper market, what happens here. And obviously, again, every week, Waterhouse and Bott, they've got the two favourites, Straight Charge and Espionage. Did you like one of those two? Could you split them, firstly?
Yeah, I mean, funnily enough, the market has flipped.
Yeah.
From what it opened, and I can't see why.
Yeah.
To be fair, I'm pretty keen on Espionage. So long as Rose Hill doesn't get 15, 20 mils and it pops into the heavy range, you know, they might even think about, you know, waiting another week.
But yeah.
That's not to say he couldn't handle it, but I see this as potentially the danger to Storm Boy.
Well, that's
coming the Golden Slipper.
Yeah, you do hear Adrian Bott say that a couple of times.
Yeah, you know, he won the Breeders' Plate, which is a fantastic guide, and they've been patient. They decided not to look to the Magic Millions, and they've brought him up slowly. I thought his trial was really good, his latest one.
Yep.
The way the race appears to set up, from the way I can see it, is he's going to be right on the back of potentially Embassy and Straight Charge.
Yep, getting the suck run.
Getting the perfect run. And we saw in the Breeders' Plate that he's strong at the finish.
Yep.
He sat three wide with a little bit of cover and rounded up Straight Charge. Now, Straight Charge has had the run since then, had a slight mishap and missed the Magic Millions.
Which I think for a horse on debut, to what you just explained, to what he did, was quite impressive. Yeah. Not many two-year-olds can do that.
Yeah, and will J-Mac hand up the lead on Embassy to allow Straight Charge come across and dictate the race? You'd imagine not. Mm. So long as the only small asterisk there with Espionage is
the track.
The track. Now, I don't know that he won't handle a heavy track. It's just not ideal.
Yeah, of course.
If we're soft six or better, I think he's clearly the horse to beat. And as I said, I think he might be the danger at this stage to Storm Boy.
And Nash being on the trials for race day is another plus. Oh, I'm with you there with Espionage. The other horse that I definitely could have something on just because I have to at the price would be Celerity.
Yeah, not surprised.
It all comes down to when the gates open, what she's going to do. But look, she just had too much to do there last start, and you really break down her splits and what she did between the 600 and 200, she had to peak late. She exerted so much energy through that section, and for her to do what she did, she can only step off that performance. Barrier 5, she's proven on soft ground off that run, and even a good track only looks a plus as well. So I think she can improve sharply, and at the price, I wouldn't want to lose on the race, and the way I'd want to make the race is I'd want to win the same as I would with Espionage. So they're my two there in the Silver Slipper, which is going to be a great race. So we'll get through Rapid Fire now. Ray, over the odds.
Look, I thought in the first.
Yeah, I'm the
let's
first.
Go, let's go the midway. I'm happy to say Decadent Tales are going to be hard to beat here. I found this really tricky, this midway. The two favourites, Glad You Think So, is a risk of getting too far back and buried. And Smart Legend, I really kind of thought he's been disappointing.
I like him.
I know he's a chance. I just thought he was a little disappointing there last start.
It just smell like Les Bridge ready to peak third?
It does smell a little bit like Invincible Legend, who ironically knocked off
somehow.
Decadent Tale somehow.
Are we sure that one? Yeah. I was on it. Are we sure it won?
Yeah. I just think she's a horse that is not going to run you a bad race. She handles everything. You know, she ran out a strong mile there. She's won up to 2,200 metres.
Yep.
She's going to be probably in the first half of the field in this big field, which I think will be important. So I just thought she was, you know, $13, $14. That was pretty good overs. Not that I think she should be favourite. You know, single figures would have been fine.
Yeah, no, I agree. I had a second pick. I just thought Smart Legend should be clear favourite. I agree with you. Glad you think so. I just think third up, out to 1,500 metres, he's coming through really strong races. And just that last race said he needed the 1,500 metres, and Les Bridges got Kieran McAvoy on for the first time this prep, which is clearly his rider. So good SP profile. I think that's a good way to start the day. Under the odds? Tricky day
you're
for
not gonna, you're not going to like it.
That's Lady Laguna?
Well, it has to be Lady Laguna. Not because she's not a winning chance, but just because this is the toughest test she's faced this preparation and for a little while, and you've got to take $2.20.
Yeah.
But as we've said, she's at the moment kind of almost invincible.
Yep.
As she's come through, you know, you'd suggest easier races. So
yeah,
just from the perspective that it is her biggest challenge, I'd have to say she's unders. It's not to say I don't think she can win, because I think she is obviously going to be very hard to beat.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. My under the odds in the last race, I'm going to go Gently Rolled. I really liked this horse last start, just at the price. There's a lot of improving types here who could just jump out of the ground. I actually think Dakota Vroom might be able to turn the tables there. But on a pretty tough day to single one out with that, I really want to take on. Out wide.
Let's go to Mudgee.
Beautiful.
Country Championships Day at Mudgee on Sunday. There's a few very interesting runners if they hold up. I wonder if Matt Damon knows where Mudgee is.
Oh, he might. He's probably there at the wineries as we speak.
Because his horse Dale is in the first. I'm not tipping into our outwide selection. Yeah. It's an odds-on favourite. So just creates a fair bit of interest there.
Just quietly, great movie, Step Brothers.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's not necessarily one of my favourites, but it is quite amusing. I'm going to go to the main race, the Central Districts Country Championships. I'm going to tip number 2, Lockdown Gamble, race 7, number 2. This horse went missing last year.
Yep.
He narrowly missed winning this race 2 years ago as a real up-and-comer.
Mm.
And then last year, he just completely lost his form. He finished 11th as a $20 chance in this race last year. They had to run in it. It was the logical race. He suffered a little injury in the paddock, which has meant he's been out a bit longer than would have been normal for him. And therefore, he's found himself being targeted at this race again. It wasn't necessarily plan A, having spoken to trainer David Smith. And he's come back a different horse.
Yep.
He absolutely bolted in at Cowra first up at 1375. Then went to Newcastle in a benchmark 66 provincial race. And I thought he was excellent at the end of 1400 metres. Now, he's got a slightly tricky barrier.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got Aaron Bullock to ride, and he's a horse that does tend to race his best, put his best in when he's just a little forward of midfield, and yep. I think he gets that opportunity. So at around the 650, I think he's a good chance in what I think is actually not necessarily a strong edition of the race, but a really even one, a race with a number of chances. So race 7, number 2 at Mudgee, Lockdown Gamble.
I'm going to a country championship day as well, Tuncurry, although I'm looking at the maiden. Race 6, number 5, it's been well backed early doors, is Penart. Now, I backed this horse first up at Taree, and I thought I was a genius because I took, I think, 5-4, 225 from memory. It started at $1.40, no deductions, gates opened, and it was just given no peace whatsoever. It only just went down by half a length. Race rated really good against the day. I think he can improve off that. And he gets barrier 2, Ben Looker, again, around Tuncurry is only a plus. It ran second at this track and distance last preparation, only beaten a head. I don't really like the second favourite at all. I think it should be an odds-on pop Penart. I think it's going to be awfully hard to beat. So that's probably one of my better bets of the whole entire weekend as well. So race 6, number 5, Penart. All right, best bets, Ray. What have you got for us?
There were two. I've got two best bets for Rose
Hill. I like it when you have two, because usually you're only one.
Well, I kind of tossed and turned over which to make the best bet, so we'll tip them both.
Yep.
As mentioned, Espionage.
Yep.
Provided we get that soft six or better by race 4, I think he's clearly the horse to beat in this race, and I'm a little surprised that Straight Charge is a favourite at this stage of the day. So race four, number one. Then we'll move into race five, number six, Diamil.
Yep.
Now, if we are on a soft six or thereabouts mid-meeting, this horse is absolutely primed to win. We all saw his first up run behind More Victorious and Marquis, where the leader just controlled and sprinted and nothing was ever going to get near him. He had 61. He gave that horse 8 kilos and the runner-up 9 kilos and hit the line really well. Now, he loves to sting out of the ground. He always improves with a run under his belt. And he's just a horse that just hasn't had a whole lot of luck. And he looks like luck might be falling his way this time. He finds J-Mac for the first time since last time he won a race.
Yep.
And as I said, it's a perfect setup for him. He's got the jump on a few of these horses from a fitness perspective. I think it's his race, Diamond, race five, number six.
Yeah, I agree. I like both of those as well. I'm going to start tonight. I've got three best bets over the weekend. I really like this horse, Canterbury Race 3, number 11, Merchant Lady. I thought she was quite impressive winning her debut run at Gosford. She did it with a bit of style, pricked her ears, clock backed up the visuals. So happy to follow her, especially getting out to the 1,200 metres looks a big plus for mine. Then we're going to go to Tuncurry, who I spoke about. Race 6, number 5, Pennart. I think it'll be hard to beat. Good gate, straight to the front, and be very hard to run down. And Rose Hill, Race 7, number 6, Lady Laguna. I know he's well found, but I think he's the bomb-proof horse, which we've spoken about. So those three, I'll back them all, take the doubles, take the trebles, and hopefully we can have a big weekend.
Yeah, let's hope so.
That's the plan anyway.
Obviously, as we've said, the Country Championship Series is unfolding now. The Provincial Midway Championships start on Thursday at Kembla Grange.
Yep.
The championships is a bit over a month away. The nominations came out earlier in the week. The weights for the Doncaster are released next week. So there's plenty of things going on.
My favourite race of the year, so I'm looking forward to the Doncaster. Yep.
Everest Winner Think About It trials on Monday, ahead of his return in the Canterbury Stakes. Will Imperatriz take up the challenge and come up to Sydney and run in that?
I reckon.
It'd be great to see, wouldn't it? But look, we'll wait and see what happens there. I think they're announcing what they're doing with her sometime next week. So, bring on the carnival.
Sounds good. And good luck to everyone having a bet out there.